This interview is of Sissy Gregory, a friend of the interviewer, about the effects of COVID on their ability to work and their family life. The interview will go into detail about their job and personal life, both before and after the shelter-in-place order was issued. This interview will be housed at the Reuther Library, which is part of Wayne State University. The object that will be housed will consist of an audio recording and the transcripts of the interview. While most advantageous would be to have the interview with no restrictions, ultimately it is up to the interviewee. This interview will be available for the public, so restrictions are understandable. The anonymity of the interviewee will be preserved if so desired, understanding that there will be a time constraint on how long the institution will honor that. There is also an option to house the audio and transcript only. All right, so, Sissy, my first question for you today is, are you affiliated with Wayne State University?
No.
All right. And where are you from?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, and what do you do in Nashville? What's your job?
I'm a registered nurse.
Okay, and as a registered nurse, have you ever had to deal with patients as far right now that have had COVID or anything like that?
Yes.
Okay, and what exactly do you do on a daily basis in your job?
I work in case management, which means that my job primarily is to help patients with discharge planning, and that is to find safe and effective places for them at the time that they're able to go home or whatever they need at the time of discharge.
What did that look like before COVID?
Prior to COVID, there were a lot of resources available to patients. So patients would be able to either go home successfully or they would be able to go to skilled nursing facilities or home health would be available. Lots of resources were out in the community for patients. There was a plethora of opportunities for patients, and we would not have such restrictions that we have now.
What kind of restrictions do you have now?
A lot of places are not able to take COVID patients based on the fact that they have other patients who are COVID-free. And so the spread of COVID is a concern to a lot of institutions. There is a concern for their staff. There's a concern for the patients they care for. There's a restriction of visitors when they do take patients who are COVID positive. And so you have a lot of restrictions when you look at where is the patient going to be placed after COVID. Plus, you have the restriction of, are they able to care for that patient?
How has COVID affected your job?
It has made a difficult placement for the patient. It's made it difficult for us to even go in and have face-to-face interactions with the patients because case management, they don't want us to utilize the PPE or the protective equipment that first line responders have to use to take care of the patients every day. So typically we were able to go in and sit down with the patient and have a face-to-face conversation with the patient and the family. But now they want us to have those kinds of conversations over the phone. The families aren't able to go in and see the patient. So you're not able to have that full visit with the families and the patients to see what their resources were prior to being admitted. And you're very restricted on what you can and cannot do with the patient in the hospital because you have to do it either on the phone or by chart review, that sort of thing.
What other protocols has your job enforced regarding not only your job, but as a nurse, but in general?
They have actually limited visitation. A lot of the patients can't have visitors because we don't want those people to be exposed to COVID. And so now you see a lot of families not able to see the patients. If the patients are not infected with COVID, we have still limited visitation policies. We have limited access to the patients. They can come in and visit only for a short number of hours, or they can come in and then after they leave, they cannot return. They obviously have to wear the protection to come in to visit their family. So there's that sort of thing. There's also the issues with if the patient is in a COVID unit, then you have also limitations about what you can do for the patient. You know, the patients are having certain treatment plans, they have certain medications, that sort of thing. So you have to have a very specific treatment protocols, and you have to know exactly what you're doing, when you're doing it, so that you have limited staff in there, you have the right staff in there at the right time. So that's a big change for us. We are doing things now that we've never done before. We're seeing responses to patients differently than we've ever seen before. Patients do not respond typically like we would in other respiratory conditions. And so it's very difficult to think about, you know, what was the norm before is not the norm now.
And I know that I'd asked you a second ago if you'd ever dealt with anyone with COVID. Have you? And could you explain that at all?
The situations for us is we deal with people with COVID, but I'm not a frontline person, so I'm not the person in the ICU or the person at the bedside every day. I deal with COVID in a different way. So I deal with folks who are coming into the hospital. Yes, they're positive for COVID. So when I'm seeing that patient, I'm not seeing them face-to-face necessarily. I'm seeing them in a chart review, or I'm seeing them on the phone, trying to talk to them, trying to talk to their families and reassure them that, yes, indeed, the patient is infected with this virus, but there are still options for them to improve their course of health. You know, there are places that will take them if they need respiratory care after they're out of the hospital, or they need physical therapy, they need home health, those sorts of things. So I'm trying to help the family to see that, yes, there are options for them to be able to get home successfully. So those are the kinds of issues that I'm dealing with as a case manager.
What did you think of COVID when it first came to Nashville?
When we first started dealing with this, we knew it was going to be something to handle, and we feel like it was going to be an issue. A lot of people were like, it's only going to take a few weeks, but the healthcare community thought, no, it's going to take a lot longer than that. We did not foresee, I think, that it was going to take this entire year to handle, because I felt like personally, and I think that our community felt like, if we really dealt with the issue at hand, we were going to be able to get it under control a little bit better. Now, that being said, people have done, for the most part, in the medical community, what we could. But the masking has been very variable around the community, around the country. So that being a problem, it's made things a little bit more of a challenge. You know, people, some people wear the mask, some people don't wear the mask. You know, some people wash their hands, some people social distance. So the inconsistency with that has made this virus fighting it is a lot worse. And also, some people have been not showing symptoms. And so you have people, carriers, who have not shown symptoms, and they have brought the virus to other people, and we've not known it. So that's another element that we just didn't have our hands around early on. People were showing symptoms that were COVID symptoms that we did not realize. The nausea and vomiting was one. So, you know, initially people had nausea and vomiting we never suspected for COVID initially. So early on, those were things that were not known to us. The virus has also changed in its ability to spread, and it has mutated. So that's a difference. So there's just been some other things that just happened to us that we weren't prepared for, I don't think. And it's not any one person's fault or any one person or group of persons' blame. It's just the virus and the nature of the virus that happened to us.
As a medical professional, do you agree with everything that the protocols they've put in place, both with the medical realm as well as with just the populace in general?
I think that we as a medical profession has done everything that we physically can do to help the community at large. I think that we're trying to use our PPE wisely. We're trying to use our resources wisely. And I think at large, the government has done what they can. I wish that truly the nation as a whole would have been more cohesive to say everybody has to wear masks. Everybody has to follow the same protocol instead of each individual state being allowed to do their own thing. Because I think that that may have been a gap in the success of this fight. But that being said, I don't necessarily know what, you know, each individual state, you know, had against, you know, up against them. But I feel like that might have been a success story versus where we are now. Looking at other countries, they universally masked, they universally social distanced, and they had a better outcome than what we have had here. So I think that that would have been a success versus where we are now.
And you personally, how has just dealing with COVID related things, how has that affected you?
I've worked a lot of long hours. So in case management, typically our hours were salaried and our hours are roughly 8-hour days. Prior to COVID, I would be working a little bit longer than that. But after COVID, I have worked very, very long hours because it has been a challenge to find people what they needed, and the resources are very slim. So I've done that, and then I've come home, and I have gone in COVID units. I've just not gone in rooms with COVID patients, but I've been down COVID units. I feel like when I come home that I have the obligation to my family to rid myself of what I've been in. And so before I see my family, you know, I get changed out of my work clothes and you know, do what I can to make my family safe. And I have limited my contact with anybody as much as I can. So I don't go out and I don't travel. I try to exemplify what I ask the community to do. So I try to be very aware of the things that I'm asking everybody else to do. I try to exemplify that. You know, I try to wear masks and use the hand sanitizers and social distance and, you know, just really say to people, this is very, very important.
And when the first shutdown order, or when the shutdown order came into effect, how did you see the effects as far as, say, everything was shut down, but you as an essential worker were still working? What was that like?
I think the first week was very telling. Our office actually even allowed people to work from home if they had good reason. So if they had children who were out of school, or they had elderly family members to care for, or if they themselves were immunocompromised, they were allowed to work from home. And because I was not one of those groups, myself and one other gentleman came in every day and worked at the hospital. So out of about 15 employees, we were two of that stayed and came in and worked every day. But the roads were essentially errand. People were not coming into work. People who didn't have work didn't, you know, just unemployed. People who were essential workers were very few coming in. So it was very, very different. Like I said, it was very lonely and isolating. And it was just a different time. So it felt odd, very strangely isolating and different.
And do you remember when the stay-at-home orders were lifted somewhat, at least with phase one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they were lifted a little bit, the traffic on the roads, you know, slowly started to resume. You saw a little bit more of an increase. And you saw that, you know, people were trying to resume their lives, but it was still this very cautious, hesitance, and return to normal life was very, hesitant, very, you know, there was a fear still. There was not this, you know, let's get back to normal. There were some people who were very excited about it, and you saw some people who were running around without their masks on and, you know, trying to just embrace that the turn, but I think those of us who really knew that this was very serious were trying to kind of hold that stance, you know, and say, let's be cautious.
Do you still feel like you're holding that stance?
I think we are. I think people are now a little bit more afraid. You're seeing the fear in people with going back to the grocery store and seeing, you know, people hoarding things again and that sort of thing. Our hospitals are filling up again, and we are still, you know, telling people now's the time. You know, the holidays are upon us. Now's the time to be socially distanced. Our government has issued the people, you know, minimizing their gatherings to 8 or less and that sort of thing. So we're trying very hard to make people aware, and we're trying to hold that stance because our hospitals are full here in Nashville. Our availabilities are very, very slim. So we're trying very hard to make people understand if you don't do it now, we won't have resources later.
How has COVID affected your holidays personally?
We actually, for the first time, did not have a holiday gathering as we normally would. We celebrated at home in a very small gathering. I had just my immediate family here and just a very small, and we had it buffet style. Everybody fixed their own plate and sat where they wanted to, and it was just a very quiet, minimal type of gathering. We did not have the big celebrations like we normally would. We had family that we didn't see at all, and we called on the phone versus seeing people in face to face.
And as far as COVID goes, have you dealt, or has anyone in your family had it that you're aware of?
Nobody in my family personally has had COVID. I've had one of my sons, his roommate had it, and actually his roommate did leave their home and stay with a friend who had it. So he removed himself and self-quarantined that way. We've had some close calls where other people have been in contact with family, with distant family who've had it. So, but we have not had it ourselves, fortunately.
And as for you personally, what is one thing that you've noticed most during this time?
I think there is a cautious caution about this. People are either very concerned with it, or they are not concerned at all. There's not a middle ground. Either you're very on board with it, or you're not at all. And I really wish that we could just all be very aware, but not overboard. You know, if you just take the precautions that people have told you to take and be following the guidelines, you know, washing your hands, wearing your mask, social distance, and go about your daily lives in those ways and not be so afraid, but just be cautious, and then not go the other direction where you're not wearing a mask at all and not believing that this is real, then we would get through it. But some people are so unaware or don't care to believe it, and then other people are so fearful that there's just no middle ground at all. And so I think that if we just did the things that we were supposed to do in moderation, that I think we would get through it, you know, not the panickers and not the naysayers.
Have you found anything positive in this COVID time?
Yes, I really have. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of really good things have come of this. We have had an outpouring in our religious communities. A lot of people have done great things to try to reach out to the homebound people. They have been videotaping religious services so people can see those. There have been a lot of opportunities to make sure people have received what they needed as far as better resources for delivery services. There have been better resources for food banks have tried to receive a lot more charitable donations. People have been more giving and more understanding of each other. So there's been that. You know, we as a country usually do rise to the occasion when there's things like this that go on. And I think that we are doing a good job that way. Unfortunately, there's a large number of people who are unemployed this time of the year. But I think that those of us who can provide for people are trying to do so. So I think that that's a good thing that's coming out of this. In the medical world, we are learning things that we never knew were out there. You know, we're learning more about, you know, the replication of a virus. We're learning different modalities to treat it. We have, as a country, looked at how we can further research and maybe break down some of the barriers that kept research and the promotion of new treatments in such a backlog, and maybe finding ways to make sure those things and those treatments come about a little bit better and quicker. So those are good things. Those are actually good things where we can get treatments to patients faster.
And going toward pre-COVID now, is there anything you miss from that?
I am very much a social person. So I'm very much a hugger and a person who likes to be with people. And I definitely miss that. I miss being with my family. I have a large family and I miss that. I miss being with my patients in person. I miss being at church in the normal fashion that I used to be. I still get to go, but it's very, very different. So I have learned to be very grateful for the little bit that I can do, but I definitely miss what I had before.
And we're getting close to the end of the interview now, but my last question for you today is, when COVID is over, what is one thing that you want to do?
I think the one thing I want to do is just remember, you know, history is the one thing that is our lifelong teacher. And if we don't remember what we went through, we will never grow and learn. And there's so much in our past that we are now growing out of and forgetting, that if we don't remember what we had, we had pandemics in the past and we've gotten away from them, but there were lessons learned in those, and we just need to remember what this taught us. It taught us a lot of things that not just medicine needs to keep in the forefront. It taught us social lessons that we need to remember. So I think we just need to remember.
All right, well, thank you so much for doing this for me today.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate this.
Sure. My pleasure.